Welcome back to the Balance Wealthy Podcast for ambitious women in business and a few brave men. I'm your host, Nikita Renthigpen. All right. Today, we are leaning into a solo narrative. Usually, when I have an opportunity to sit with you guys, I'm having an amazing conversation with a potent human right across the lens, if you will, with me, because we're typically not in person. But something has been on my heart, my mind, my spirit. It's been coming up inside the Women's Self-Care Guild, which is our mentorship program for founders, consultants, and leaders. It's been coming up on stages when I'm having Q&A opportunities with people and audiences of 200 to 500 plus people in a room at a time. And it's this idea of breakups, especially in the professional context, as well as when it's friendships. So I thought it'll be best if I don't jam it all into one episode, and I'll just kind of tease it out over a couple of micro series or mini series, if you will. So kicking off, I really want to talk about the professional breakup. And one of the things that came up in a recent podcast interview I was doing where I was on the other side of the couch, sitting on someone else's couch, and they were interviewing me, was how do you deal with the fact that you've invited someone into a, you know, from a professional lens, into a project, you're working with them deeper than you necessarily thought you would. And maybe it's because you saw them speak somewhere and you were really charmed by their ability to captivate the boardroom, you know, speak into the hearts of the members. They seem to have this influential energy to really get their statements across, get their projects, their pitches, whatever it is. And you were captivated by it. So instead of doing what you would have liked to do, maybe even you normally do, you know, vet them a little bit more, look into some of their past projects, maybe even potentially put them through a 3, 5, or 7-step kind of application process, to work with you, you kind of jumped right in. This is the equivalent of jumping right into bid with someone. And for those of you who have been following the BBP, you know that I often talk about the importance of dancing. You want to dance. First of all, you have to decide if you even want to go to the dance floor with someone, right? But even when you do, like, okay, they look like, you know, there'd be someone I would like to be curious about getting to see their flow, their style, their rhythm. And I'm using that as an analogy. I mean it literally if you're actually dating, but use it as an analogy professionally. You'll dance with someone before you even decide to date them. And then in the dating, you're not necessarily saying, hey, we're dating, so now we're automatically going to be even more intimate and go straight to the bedroom in that specific analogy for dating, but also in the context of professionally. You're not just going to jump from, hey, I saw them do a pitch or a presentation in the boardroom, and then I want you to sign on for this major project, this baby that I've been working on, that I've been pouring my blood, sweat, and tears on. And maybe I do need some additional strategic support, some implementation support, other eyes and other versions of accountability to see where I can take this version or this chapter of the project next. Maybe you really do truly need that, but that doesn't mean because someone was influential and captivated you that they should automatically get intimate in your project or work with you in this other big way. There has to be some version of vetting, which is the dancing, right? Let's dance maybe a few times and let's date. And what that could look like, it all depends from a professional specific point. It depends on whether or not you have other stakeholders that are involved that they also have to meet with after you've had a time to really do your due diligence on their work style, their flow. If you're someone who really loves having slides for everything, pitch decks are hugely important to you, but there's someone that's more fly by the seat of their pants and they really don't like to script out things and write, that's probably not going to be a good fit for you if that's not what you need to support you in completing the project, especially if the assets are important, because what will happen is they will have the gift of gab to use everything and then you will become the transcriber and you'll be doing all the things from the implementation side when you were really bringing them onto your project to support you so you didn't have to do as much work. And you know, you got to be really careful when you just kind of jump into bed, so to speak, even the boardroom project level of the bed, because before you know it, now you're dealing with other levels of triggers that are coming up for you where you feel like you're being taken advantage of, someone is getting over. You may even feel betrayed and violated, depending on, you know, what's coming up for you in the working with this person or these persons. So when you have something like that professionally come up, one of the things that I like to encourage everyone to do is first and foremost, be self-aware. Recognize for yourself why you chose this person. What's coming up for you? What mirror was their energy, their influential ability, their charming behavior, you know, their personality, their demeanor, whatever it was that you felt kind of, you know, professionally attracted to? What was it that was reflecting back in you that you didn't have something and that they needed to be the compliment that you were looking for? And again, this is not to be critical of yourself to the point where you're blaming or shaming or putting yourself down. It's just awareness. It's the first step in everything. The first step in therapy, the first step in any project is the first step you need to do. Let me be aware of why this person appears to be a good fit for whatever outcomes you're hoping to achieve by working together. Okay. So now that I've seen, you know, Janet seems to be well-spoken. She seems to be able to work the room and hold the audience. She always seems to have the right words to say, you know, in this proverbial example. And maybe you consider yourself an introvert who doesn't really like doing all the people parts. You know, when you're super, super heavily prepared and you've reviewed your slide decks and your PowerPoints 10 times, then you feel like you can get through, but you're barely getting through the presentation. You're seeing, you know, all of the skill set that they have, and you're admiring their skill set, but also seeing that they have things that you don't. So you don't feel completely qualified to offer that part, even though no one can replace your brilliance, right? It's your project. You're the visionary. You're the one who will ultimately catalyze this forward, but you're aware that they have something that could help to elevate your project, perhaps to completion, or maybe the project is complete and you're really in a different stage. You're in a marketing stage. You're really trying to get it in front of more people and you feel like they have the gift of gab to get you there. These are positive things. It's also you being honest with yourself with what's missing. Now, this isn't the same as the imposter syndrome feeling of, hey, I'm not enough. I'm not ready. I don't have what it takes. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, you may have some of that going on, and that may be something that you have to realize, recognize, and deal with. But assuming that it's not the imposter syndrome, you're just honestly like, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, right? There's other players that I need on the team to really help me carry this ball forward. The ball being the project, again, either to completion or maybe, you know, elevating it to get it in front of the right people so that you can service, you know, your clients, your consumers, the community in a deeper and better way, right? This is just simple awareness. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that. Now that you're aware of what they had that made you truly attracted to them in that way that you really wanted to, you know, get to dating them as soon as possible, and you didn't realize it, you skipped the dance, you didn't truly date, you immediately went to a full bedroom conversation with them. We were like, listen, this is the project. My gut is telling me everything I need to know. Let's go. Another segue that I have to bring in. Your intuition is powerful and it's very meaningful. It's very supportive and it truly does hold the answers that you need within you. I always say you got to trust your inner brilliance. That's partially your intuition, right? But you trust and verify. So let's make sure that you're grounded in the wisdom from all the lessons that you've learned across your life while you're also listening to your inner brilliance and your intuition. Your intuition and inner brilliance might be saying to you, these are the type of attributes and characteristics that we need for this project to complete it. There's something very powerful in how this person comes across and it resonates, because if it can move me, and maybe I'm a more skeptical person, maybe I'm a more pessimistic person, maybe I'm someone who isn't easily moved, and I recognize that if they can do that to me, then they definitely can do this with our stakeholders. They definitely can help me, you know, carry the ball to completion, right? Like whatever it is where you're in that stage. And maybe your vision is literally just a vision and you're trying to get it out of your head and conceptualize it to the point that it's now tangible and you just really feel like this person can do it. But your inner brilliance might just be pointing out that these are things that you need. It's not necessarily telling you that this is the person you need. That could be coming up because of body trauma, right? That could be coming up because this person is very familiar in their swagalicious behavior and all of that. And this is what you typically tend to default to in your personal relationships. And it hasn't really served you well, but it's familiar. And often because of safety needs, security needs, and fear of rejection, because this is what we know, we're more likely to be able to see, oh, this is an easy close for me. I can close this deal. I can get this person to work with me, to be a part of the project, to be on my side, if you will. But it doesn't mean that this is the person. And it could be. But that's why systems and processes, vetting processes, are really helpful to kind of help confirm that your inner brilliance isn't just looking at the attributes and the characteristics of the influential demeanor and personality, swag and style and flow that they have, but they also have the receipts to back it up. And they really will be the compatible partner that you need that isn't complimenting you to the point that they match you completely, because that's not what you want. You want someone that can challenge you, that can help you see the blind spots that you can't see, especially with a work project. And some of those things might feel like friction because it is so different. That's okay. But you don't want someone that's going to make you feel like you're doing even more work. That's going to make you feel like now you're questioning questions that aren't helpful. That's creating more decision fatigue. That's putting you in an analysis paralysis loop. That's not what you want. And you definitely don't want to feel like you chose someone, you're locked in now and you can't get out. So that was a little context and a little background. Let's assume that you didn't do the vetting process. You didn't dance and then date and then decide to move further in the intimacy of your professional relationship. You locked in, you jumped in, you threw caution to the wind, and here you are. Okay. Second step, after being aware of what it was that they offered and they provided and gave to you, is being really honest with yourself. Like, what's coming up for you? Are you shaming yourself? Are you guilting yourself? Are you angry with yourself? Because if any of those emotions and so many others that could be coming up for you are happening, it's all normal. So it's all fine. And normal isn't necessary. You don't have to sit in the mire of that yuckiness, of those yucky feelings. You do have to recognize what it is. You know, I was aware of why I was attracted, and now I'm aware of what's going on with me. Give yourself some grace. Be compassionate and kind to yourself the same way you would if a sister friend, a brother friend, a child, a sibling, someone else that you love, know, and trust came to you and this was their story. So kind of giving yourself that kind of 30,000 foot eagle view perspective of the situation and saying, okay, what would I tell someone that I love who is kind of beating up on themselves about this? You wouldn't let them do that. You would say, no, you are enough. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. We can resolve this. We can close the loop on it. But you also want to make sure that you have this part of the conversation with yourself, just kind of letting go of the emotions, shaking the shame, doing whatever it is that you need to do to get through this part so that you don't go into a situation with Janet or John or whoever this, you know, fictitious person is whose name I'm making up for this example. You don't want to go in and vomit on them things that don't belong to them, things from past relationships, personal or professional. You don't want to be that human because that's not empathic leadership, right? You don't want to be that person that's now showing up because you couldn't get a handle of your own emotions, because you felt betrayed or violated, that you got duped into this, something that you have to take accountability for because you chose this person. They didn't come to you. And even if they did, you didn't have to agree to have them work with you on this project, right? You know, assuming that this wasn't like, you know, a hierarchical issue where someone was assigned to you to work with, that's a completely different type of breakup story. Because then you have to deal with organizational challenges and change. And that's all possible too, but that's not what I'm talking about. This is someone where you independently kind of called into yourself. But with that, you don't want to project on them. That's not fair. They were a human being in their humanity, and we want to respect that. So in looking at this human being in their humanity, we want to then have a conversation with them, a very simple, short one, just like you would with any other meeting. Hey, Janet, let's set up a strategic session so we can talk about next steps with this project. Keep it neutral. You're not alluding to, hey, we have a problem. We have to work this out. I need to get on your schedule ASAP. You're not setting them up on the defensive, because now you're going into the ring with your boxing gloves on. You don't need to do that. You don't want to do that to yourself. You don't want to do that to this other human. It's not fair for either of you, quite honestly. So let's not do that. Let's have a strategic session, strategic conversation, whatever language you need to use that's meaningful to both of you, that's neutral. Set that up 1 or 2 weeks out, whatever it is. You don't need to go into analysis paralysis over it. It's not going to be a long thing. It's probably going to be roughly a 20-minute or less conversation, because you do want to be considerate. You also want to be concise, and you want to cut, right? So like, let's get to it. But in order to be considerate, the conciseness will be the time that you spend. But to be considerate, you want to lean in from a strength-based perspective. And when you now have this meeting, that you know, you're scheduled, you have the meeting, it's come, it's 12 o'clock on the day of. Well, now you can say, you know what, Janet, I just want to say that when I first saw you, met you, heard you speak at, did whatever, wherever it was that you came into contact with this human and you made up your mind in that moment that this was the person, give them those 2 or 3 things, those attributes, those characteristics that really stood out for you. And be honest, be authentic. These were literally things that attracted me to you. I appreciated your influential ability. You're so well-spoken. The way you were able to maneuver through the room with such grace, you know, whatever that is, just 2 or 3 things. You don't got to give 25 things, 2 or 3 things. Because again, we want to be concise. I really appreciate that. And in the time that we've worked together, or in the time that I've had to really think about what's best for my working style, I realized that we're not a good fit. Now, this can feel harsh to someone who hasn't done their own personal growth work, or it can sound like exactly what they've been waiting for, because they probably also have realized that your need to be as detailed as you are, to have notes for everything, to constantly, you know, have slides for all the things, and that's not their style in this example, doesn't work for them either. So you'd be really surprised at who you are releasing into their next level of freedom because you're being honest. So release them. Consider it, concise, and cut. You said your 3 things. You were honest, concise about that this doesn't work for me. You know, give them some space. If they want to now say, you know, oh, well, I think we can work together. Just tell me what you need. You know, I can do this, that, and the third. But you've already made up your mind. So be very clear. Is this a conversation where you want them to have an opportunity to say how they can do things differently? If that was not your case, if this is a true breakup conversation, be honest with yourself. There's no wiggle room. It doesn't matter what kind of charm they pull in. It doesn't matter what kind of come to Jesus moments that they've had where they understand that they can do things differently, right? Consider it, concise, and cut. I appreciate that, Janet. I hear you, and I really do respect the fact that you're willing to work through some things and you know, match my style and do things differently. But I have truly given this considerable thought, and it is best for our working relationship that we do not continue to partner. Now, logistically, if they've given some IP that you have enfolded, enveloped into your project, you have to be willing to handle that contractually, or even commit to releasing those things, those changes out of the way, like depending on how far down the road you are in that project. You know, I'm not a lawyer, so make sure you know, dot I's, check T's when it comes to all of that. You don't want any backlash that way. But let's just assume for the cleanness of this example that it hasn't even gotten that far. You've only had very high level think tank conversations. Nothing has really implemented or been infused into the project, whether it's the marketing phase or the completion phase. And so with that said, it's a clean break release. Just be very considerate, concise, and then the cut. And then the cutting, the actual closing of the loop is, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate everything that you've provided. you know, just in your energy alone. And that's one of the favorites, right? Just if that really was what attracted you, just in your energy alone. Now, you cannot control that this person might have hurt feelings. You can't control that they may not handle it well, that they feel rejected. You can't control that. What you can control is your demeanor and how you set up the ball. You setting up the ball from a strength-based perspective is really important. So make sure that you set up the ball by not coming in with your ego and not coming in, you know, aggressive, because that's the only way that you've ever known to have clean-cut breakup conversations is being so aggressive that the person just no longer wants to deal with you. I mean, personally, you shouldn't do it that way either, but especially in a professional breakup. So those are, you know, my Nikita-isms for the day. I hope that is supportive for each of you listening to this. If you ever have or are in the midst of breaking up with someone professionally, there's so many other contexts and nuances to this that we could definitely go over. And we talk about this stuff all the time in the Women's Self-Care Guild. And just as a little slight note, we had a couple of men reach out and say, like, hey, do you have a guild for men? We don't have a formal guild for men, but what I will tell you is if you have at least 4 to 8 other men that are in your ecosystem, in your network, that also really want to have some self-care for success strategies, I'm happy to do like a 4-month kind of tight guild for you where the mentorship sessions are there. So we can talk about how to amplify your intimacy from the bedroom to the boardroom, because yours matters too. So I just wanted to give you that. In the interim, I want you to do what I ask you to do every single episode. 1, think of someone that you know in your ecosystem who could benefit from this episode, and please do share it with them. 2, I want you to just, you know, be you. Go. Enjoy the balance of your day, but do it boldly.